this is the opening of the Carol Cox Show. But in this opening, what we will do is have a few minutes of discussion of a very important issue dealing with the Department of Health and the health standards and what is happening in the area of health, especially mental health, out in the Waianae area. My name is Pokalai Nui, and I will be giving you some information for the first few minutes, and Carol is standing right there waiting to come in right after this brief introduction of this particular issue. In this program, let me share a few minutes with you of conditions out in Waianae and what is happening with the Department of Health, specifically the Adult Mental Health Division. About 22 years ago, there were a group of residents out in the Waianae area who took a look at what is happening with regards to how people were treated in the mental health field. And over a period of time, people became convinced that the state of Hawaii was not providing the appropriate style of mental health practices. One of our kupuna had sat in when the state finally developed an office for mental health services in Waianae, and she counted how many people were being served. Out of a population of about 40,000, she counted three people who were served in a week as she sat in the waiting room. And so finally she organized with others, and her name was Marie Olson, and there were a number of others in the community who organized and finally invited the state to leave the community and turn over services to the community itself to operate mental health services. The state was very compliant, the state agreed, and the state participated in this transfer. And the entity that came out of Waianae then became known as the Waianae Coast Community Mental Health Center. It's one of about 9 mental health centers in the state of Hawaii. It is the only mental health center that is not operated by the state of Hawaii, but operated as a private, not-for-profit community organization. The members who run that organization are all from the community. They are members of the board of directors. I, as the executive director, has lived in the community for over 50 years, and most of our employees are all living in that Waianae community. Now, I jump too far into the story, what has happened is that this organization has become known for its producing of services. It has been specially recognized by the Federal Court Monitor for its excellence in services. It won first place nationally a few years ago for its particular type of services in case management, and it has been recognized in various publications. Our services, I would suggest, are at the top of the field. And yet it has been the Department of Health, Adult Mental Health Division, who have said, we are going to take Waianae and prevent you from practicing this service under our contract. And that particular service is called CBCM. We have approximately 360 seriously mentally ill being treated under the community-based case management contract. They are saying we're going to close down Waianae, and if you want these services, then the patients are to go to other service providers, all of them operating in Honolulu. Now, of course, they can send case managers into Waianae to do the services and then go back to Honolulu. But you don't have a Waianae service practicing community mental health center out of Waianae addressing the particular needs of Waianae and the people that we have. And most of our consumers are of the Native Hawaiian background. And so there's a particular style of service that is very important, a particular Waianae style of service. So what the state has done is taken that service away. They have taken another service. It's called the ACT service. It's at an even higher level of concentration, where people come directly out of the state mental health hospitals. And when they are sent to communities, many times they are sent out to Waianae, go out to Waianae and try to recoup or regenerate your life out in Waianae. And when they are sent to Waianae, they come to our program. And so we are able to work with them and try to keep them away from crimes and other things. But what happens is that the state, as of last week, have notified me that they are closing the ACT services, so Halinaupono will not be able to produce those services and not be able to send your clients to the lesser level of services. In other words, Halinaupono is not to do any clinical services for any of the state patients. That will have very disastrous effects on Halinaupono, but more important, it will have disastrous effects on the practice of services to the consumers themselves. Already I have heard from consumers who are protesting, objecting. They have been with us for years and years and years, and to ask that they switch this service in a period of 2 weeks to another service provider is inappropriate. And the selection of Halinaupono as the one that is not to have their contract continued, I think, is discriminatory. It's repudiatory, if there is such a word. They are trying to to pick on us for being outside of the box as we practice these services. If you want to be of assistance, you can call us at Halinaupono. Our telephone number is Our telephone number is 696-4211 if you would like to have more information on this important matter. You may also want to call the governor's office or the lieutenant governor's office and express to them your concern about what is happening out in the Waianae area and why the services are being cut in this way. I want to thank Carol very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you, his audience, and he will be coming in and taking over the rest of his show. So mahalo, Carol, for this opportunity. Okay, I turn you over now to Carol Cox.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you, Poca. I felt that it is so important to get that message out. I'm really concerned that what is going on. I've been here 20 years, and what attracted me most about Hawaii was the people, the land, and just the quality of life here and the aloha. But for some reason, it seems to escape us all now. Even in our government, we're seeing the mayor or the city government tear down areas here. Right. Having a light glitch here with the mics. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Yes. Could you hold just a minute? I'm going to. I'll get right back to you. This is. Who am I speaking with?
Carlos Parisi.
Okay. Could you just hold a wee bit here? And anyway. What we have here is a situation where we're really getting out of, we're just getting bad in the way we're treating our people, the way we're treating our land, the way our government is treating us. It is just simply wrong, and we must do something, join forces or do something to change this process. It's just simply, it's getting out of hand. And then quite often we're disappointed in government and the manner in which it treats us. It's unfair, and the way the government treat our affairs, such as this one Poca was talking about. I have a caller on the line, and he's from the Big Island, and his name is Mr. Carlos Parisi. And Mr. Parisi is a landowner who is having some hard times with the state government and the county government. And Mr. Parisi, if you would go ahead and share with us what you're experiencing. And good morning, and thank you for calling.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I bought this property approximately 20 years ago, to be exact. And I decided to build on it about 3-4 years ago. And I had gone up to look at it, inspect it with my builder, and we had seen a gate across the easement off of the road. And digging into it, we found out that there was approximately 70 to 80 abandoned vehicles just laid out on a property that I would pass through the easement before I would get to mine. And I complained to the Department of Health in Honolulu, the State Department of Health. They at first commended me with a letter. We're holding the property owners responsible for illegal dumping. But then they turned around a few months later and sent me a letter joining me with the responsibility as far as the cars that were on the easement, even though I had nothing to do with it, no knowledge, and that wasn't technically responsible for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons that your situation grabbed my attention is that, as you have shared and let the folks know, that you've provided me with documents and letters to and from the state, and you actually have a case pending that is current in the courts there.
Right, we file a civil case.
Right.
What I did was I used a multi-attack type of tactic, in the sense that I went ahead and complained first to the state agency, thinking that they would react quickly. And I also went and filed a civil lawsuit because there was an issue of the gate, which really the state was not involved in.
Okay. Well, what happened here, folks, he's already explained it, but what I'd like to clarify for some of you just tuning in, the Department of Health, on September 28th, Mr. Parisi wrote a letter to the state health department, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch. He informed them that there were a large number of cars, derelict cars, left on property, leaching and rusting away the fluids, the oils, the rubber, the tires, potentially an environmental hazard. Mr. Parisi was even thanked by Mr. Stephen Chang of the Solid and Hazard Waste Branch for bringing this matter to his attention. Well, nothing happened. They gave the landowner a notice that accumulation of junk vehicles. And nothing happened. They didn't clean it up, and they were given dates and times. And in January 22nd, now the first letter Mr. Parisi called was September 28, 2007. January 22nd, 2008, nothing was happening, no cleanup. The state then returns after thanking Mr. Parisi and then decide to tell him he is now responsible for cleaning it up, even though they had cited the Mr. Rex Coleman of the Bang San Ho Temple. Give us a little more information, Mr. Parisi, regarding this and how it developed. And wasn't there an offer by the state to offer them 25?
Right. Their first warning letter to them in September was to basically set them up as a recycling facility. Now, mind you, these cars, like you mentioned, were just dumped there by their previous owner, who had tinkered with them. I understand he was a mechanic, retired mechanic. And when he sold them the property, he sold the property with the cars. And what the temple did with one of its directors, Mr. Rex Coleman, and the leader, Reverend Choi Darnett, what they did was basically for the past 5 years, or excuse me, for the past 9 years, they put it as far as, you know, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind type of attitude, and let it, the easement overgrow. And then about 2-3 years ago, they put the gate up to prevent anyone from really investigating or inquiring or finding these things, these abandoned vehicles. Now, most of the people in my area, they don't have county water, so they rely on the rain, or they rely on wells. And my immediate concern was the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, because we have some, you know, quite a bit of streams around that area.
Right. So, let me, I want to make sure that people understand why I'm so interested in this and the unfairness that is in this situation. You complain to the state that there was cars there dumped, and then in turn the state comes out and acknowledges and issues a letter warning to the property owner.
And commends me with a separate letter.
Right. So the property owner then, in turn, is approached by the state. It's a Buddhist temple, this land, and in turn they never ask for a permit or never express any intent to recycle cars. But as a result, and the way the state health department, solid and hazardous waste branch, approached this was, if there's 100 cars there, you then can take out 75, even though they're derelict and rushing away and poses a threat to the environment. You can claim that you are a recycler and just leave them there and rust out. And because there's a state law that says that if you're a recycler, you can, in fact, just have no more than 25 cars, but they can just leave there. Is that correct?
That's correct. They basically gave them a chance to get a variance. I spoke to Tom Nichols, and he, you know, because I was going nuts with their interpretation of what they were doing, the state. And they basically told them that if they left, they brought the total number down to 25, they could leave the remaining 25 as is, and they would comply with the law. So the state also said to me, well, you know, go back to county. I'm sure county has some laws that you could go after. But county never even acknowledged, up to now, they haven't even acknowledged any of my complaints or my letters or my attorney's letters or a phone call, nothing.
This is the county of Hawaii.
County of Hawaii, right. And the state, subsequently to that letter in September, changed it after negotiating with them, I understand. I wasn't involved in a negotiation. They basically left me in the dark. It wasn't for, you know, my calling to inquire, because I saw no action. The only action happened about 2 weeks ago, that they started cleaning it up. But then in January, they sent me a letter in conjunction with the director, Rex Coleman, of this monastery, Buddhist monastery, mm-hmm. where they enjoined me for the responsibility only for the cars in the easement,
Right.
Which they claim there's approximately 20 cars. I claim there's about 5 cars.
Okay, but never mind the number that's there. The fact is, you don't own that easement, right?
No, I don't.
The easement was just
perpetual access that is part of my deed.
Right.
It's also part of their deeds where they own the property, but they have to provide access to my parcel.
Okay, so in other words, they're now going to tag you because you, by law, it's required to have an easement, and so someone left the cars. But now, didn't you come up with a document from the sales of this property that shows that the buyer and the seller acknowledge the presence of those cars way back when they purchased this land and were told that the seller is not responsible for removing the cars?
Right. About a week ago, I finally was able to dig up and track down the seller of the property. It was a family, but the main person that handled the negotiations with the temple and the broker involved was Terry Schomburger from Sunrise Properties here on the Bay Island, who's representing the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to have lunch with him, and he enlightened me to the fact that when he negotiated that property with them, he sold it as is with the stipulation that the cars were part of the sale, that they were aware of them, and that it entailed the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did to me was the seller, Michael Lewis, he authorized the title company to release to my attorney the total file of the closing of that property, which was in, I believe it was December 2004. And in there were a couple of documents. One was a fax copy from the title company that was sent to the broker, Terry Schomburger, and it was sent at the closing because the contract did not indicate the stipulation of sold as is, and the cars were, the buyers were aware of the cars, and they were accepting the cars that were strewn all over the lot at that time. You could say they were not dumped.
Okay, so the other document you gave me, you shared with us, is that on the 28th, January 22nd, 2008 letter. It says that...
No, the document for the closing was December
2nd. Yeah, I understand. This is regarding that as a result of the documents you've recovered.
Right.
That they acknowledge and knew of the cars.
Right.
Upon purchase.
And bought the property with the cars.
Right. So that means they had knowledge. And do you think it was proper or that the state would come in, even though they never asked for a permit to be a recycler, that the government volunteering this? What is that... what impression are you left with?
Well, you know, the government is there to serve all of us, but the government is also there to make sure that the laws are followed. And I felt that, you know, in this particular case, the state agency has really been helping the person that is the delinquent,
mm-hmm.
and the one that brought it to their attention is being
punished. Punished. And so an easement granted by, and folks, what happened here is in their haste to be uneven in the application of the law or the interpretation of the law, the state health department writes, therefore owners and or grantors of both properties are responsible for removing solid waste from the 2,400-foot easement. Grantor, did you grant anything to the in this process, Mr. Parisi?
No, I neither own nor did I grant anything.
So you would be the grantee. You're receiving the easement, right?
Correct.
So why would the state, I guess in their haste to really stick it to you, it appears, they weren't careful in articulating, and supposedly this is a legal document, am I right?
It is a binding legal document, and what it's done, it's really spilled over to the civil case because now the state is basically helping the guilty party that owns these vehicles by allowing them to wait until the civil case runs its course to determine if I am indeed responsible for removing, the part of the expense of removing these vehicles.
Right.
Now, I have had to go and get a lawyer. I had to go spend money on survey, investigation, miscellaneous expenses. And here we are almost 3 years later, and most of the cars are still there. They've cleaned up about, in the last couple of weeks, I would say about 25 cars.
Why did they clean up?
Well, I my gut feeling is that when I inquired through KGMB9 News, one of the stories that you were involved in, I contacted you. I understand you spoke to Mr. Rex Coleman, the director of this temple. And I think that had a lot to do with motivating them to clean this up, because they felt that someone who knows the law and knows the system was watching them. Because, you know, I'm a common layman, and I've never been involved in a situation like this. And I expected the state really to do what you're doing for me. You know, the state really has dropped the ball, and it's come now after me.
And left you holding the ball.
Yeah. You know, they dropped the ball, they left me holding the ball, and now they're coming after me and holding me partially responsible for this mess. And they're helping them with the civil case, because now the judge in the civil case is, you know, taking a lot of weight in the fact that the state is putting the partial responsibility on my back.
Uh-huh. I see. So, in other words, you're another citizen here, the little guy on the totem pole. I did, in fact, speak to Rex Coleman, and he informed me in the interview that the county, he was working with the county and the state, and a legal team came over. But you're telling me that the county wouldn't even talk to you or have called you back to even come and respond to your complaint. Is that correct?
Up to today, I have not received one phone call, one letter, nor has my attorney, who also copied them, on the status of this case.
I see. Well, I don't know what to say to you other than you are getting the steam of the Department of Health. And folks, this repeats itself throughout the state of Hawaii. There is not a single case that goes untainted with this reinventing the law, applying the law as it seems to assist or aid special interests or individuals. Because how is it that the county can ignore the complainant, and then the state comes in and compliments him for calling, the complainant for calling, and then in turn, months later, because nothing was done, stick him with the responsibility of something that they're not responsible for. So, is there anything else you'd like to share with us, Mr. Parisi?
Well, you know, we've got these environmental laws, and, you know, people that point out the illegalities, because the state can't cover the whole state. They need the public support. But if they're not going to support the public that are, you know, enlighten them, or whistleblowers, whatever you want to call them, or, you know, it defeats the system. Because instead of preventing pollution, we're really looking the other way when somebody complains, and we're going to involve the person that complains in the legal process of responsibility. And I've invested over $10,000 already in legal fees.
And could have been avoided, and simply if the state had come and held the folks' feet to the fire, the responsible party, you're saying?
Yeah, because, you know, I felt that the state really hasn't done anything up to now. That my lawyer is still in the process of going through the civil case, and really it wasn't until, like I said, you got involved that I think was the stimulation for this temple to take this thing seriously, because more eyes were watching it. If not, it would have been a case of, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere and no one needs to know, and this is the way the state's been
Well, what I've done, Mr. Parisi, is I've actually, the documents that you've given me, especially the ones where the purchaser or the buyer and owner of that property where the cars are situated, provided the state documents that speak specifically to, they have knowledge that the cars were there some years back. The state, I did invite them to participate this morning. They informed me, well, it's still under investigation, and they really can't make any statements, and it would create a problem. So it seems that it's creating a big problem, financial one for you, it seems.
Oh, definitely. It's affected. Not only has it affected, you know, what money I've spent on it already, you know, I was anticipating building and subdividing this 3 years ago, and as you, we all know, with the cost of fuel going up, the cost of construction per square foot has almost tripled.
Mm-hmm.
So budgeted, you know, I had budgeted roughly $300,000-$400,000 for the house. Now it's cost prohibitive for me. I don't think I can even afford it.
And
I'm waiting now for this thing to clear up, and I'm told that it could take up to another year for the civil case to play out in court. And the state really is just sitting back, wanting to wait what the civil judge decides.
Yeah,
which
well,
is improper. It has nothing to do with their responsibility and job to force the owners to clean up, you know, because the goal here really is not to defend me. The goal here is to defend the land.
So right.
Stop the pollution.
That's the purpose. You would think that the one of the main driving forces behind the state health department's presence in this matter is to protect the land, not adjudicate cases, right?
Right, right. I mean, the gate is the issue that I have in civil court with them. But that has nothing to do with forcing them to pull these vehicles. And like I said, it wasn't until you had talked to Mr. Coleman that really stimulated them. I think, you know, they got wise to the fact that people are watching them and started cleaning it up. I haven't been by there in a week, so I don't know if they cleaned it up all. But I doubt it because there's so many cars involved, and you're talking about two parcels of roughly 70 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take them a little while.
Well, one of the things I'd like to share with the people out there that's listening is that you may think that this is a situation that will never affect you, but this Department of Health, folks, that we're dealing with, the State Department of Health under the Environmental Services Branch, falls under Dr. Chiomi Fukina. You rarely can contact her. The governor, Governor Lingle, appointed her, and you rarely can even get a response. You have to go through her a layer and layer of public relations and what have you. But what has happened is that she has relegated or handed these responsibilities off to Larry Lau, Lawrence K. Lau, who has been a gatekeeper at the Department of Health for many years. And these types of management efforts or addressing violations seems to mirror the same kinds of treatment that we've seen over the years. The same thing. So if there's a violation, Lau drafts up a consent decree, and the consent decree is beautifully worded with threats of substantial fines, as if this, as in this case, where they were threatened if they didn't clean it up, they would have to. But in turn, he would engage in a consent decree, and then the public then would be taken completely out of it because it's being governed by a consent decree and agreements. But if they violate the consent decree, Lau doesn't pursue them and prosecute them or take legal action. So we're in a really serious quagmire, folks, and Mr. Parisi is just one of you who's out there at any given time. This system can impact you in a fashion that it will cost you. You said you spent $10,000 already, right?
Oh, yeah, at least. I would say close to 15 total.
And I know that. And you're in the area of, where is this, Mountain View? Or?
It's exactly 17 miles up Volcano Road from Hilo. And then it's about a mile and a half parallel to Volcano Highway, State Highway 11.
I see. So what do we go from here? What's your next plans as far as regarding the state health department?
Well, I'm going to go visit the site this coming week and see what progress has elapsed since I last was there. And hopefully, like I said, they're still cleaning it up. And I'm going to, the state, the last conversation I had with the state about a month ago, they informed me that they were going to come back in July and do an on-site inspection. They were going to also resolve the issue as to whether I am responsible for the easement portion of the property, of any vehicles, if I'm half responsible, as they currently have on their last letter to me. And then I'm also going to play it out in my civil case. I'd like to somehow get back my damages as far as, my fees that I've spent and what it's going to cost me to fill my home. And in addition to that, I think, the court should sanction them, both the Department of Health and the court. They pretty much have misled everyone. And there's a contradiction with these documents that popped up last week and the whole case as it is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to continue to write a letter and ask some questions of the Department of Health. But, just be forewarned, this is a seven-headed dragon that moves at its own pace.
Right.
That's dysfunctional. And you and I, really, I will tell you, and it's rare that I will say things like this publicly, that I believe I'm trying to walk up Niagara Falls. Because the manner in which you go to the government, and just a parallel to what you're experiencing, I as a citizen will call the state health department with evidence and photographs and videos and witnesses and provide that information. And I mean, these are open shut cases. Having been in law enforcement, nobody's guilty until they've been through the process and proven guilty. But the evidence there points to someone did wrong. When you see a barrel of oil being buried, there's no doubt it's illegal. You just have to find out who. But the state, I would provide that information to the state, and like you got the warning letter after you got a compliment, they would then take my information, and I would inquire maybe a month or two, and they would tell me, well, it's under investigation, and we can't have anything, can't disclose anything. But these cases go for years, and they never prosecute, and they never take any action.
Well, that's the problem, because, there's no deterrent there. People are going to get away with it, and they know. And, so what do we have the laws for if they're not going to be enforced and complied with?
Well,
the police here should be the Department of Health.
Right. And I don't want to go down this path of advocating who you vote for and who you not vote for. But this is what I'm recommending to everybody out there. In order to set this dysfunctional government, this out-of-control government, state agencies, is that we now look at the disappointment starts, folks, at the election booth, which preceded by political speeches, promises, kissing babies, and the easily impressed voter, trusting and unsuspecting. Once they get in, you take, for example, Governor Lingle or Mayor Hanneman, man, can they swoon you, and you can fall asleep because you just simply know that they're going to take care. But what they do not tell you is that they will rarely engage and get involved with the hands-on. They wouldn't know what is going on. It's the old gatekeepers who sit there year after year. And as long as a sensitive issue comes where the governor or the mayor can wave in front of our eyes to say how successful they are in the management, the reality is they're really not doing anything but convoluting and costing people like yourselves and Mr. Farisi substantial costs. So you say $10,000 you paid, but you wanted to develop on that land, so I wouldn't want to guess how much you're really losing.
Well, let's say I would say excess of $1 million at this point.
Well, I can't make any promises, but you continue to hang in there and give us a call, and we will be watching. And maybe you should try and writing the governor and explaining your disappointment and your disgust, maybe, if you are that.
Okay. Like I said, thank you very much for all your help and assistance. And I would encourage the people out there to keep pointing out these lawbreakers. And, you know, that we stay on top of the government agencies that are supposed to monitor and enforce these laws for the better of all of us.
Okay. Well, anyway, I appreciate you calling in, and I wanted to give some substantial time to this, because it's rare that, and I'm glad that you, I want to applaud you for coming out and standing up and speaking, because, folks, there is a retaliatory climate also within the Department of Health, that Mr. Farisi or others, or if you speak out, then they will come to silence you by next week, having a few inspectors to come and what have you. So they're not above that. And this Department of Health, under the Lingle administration, is completely out of hand. They're not responding. There are many issues, and we'll be talking about those issues in the coming future. But, Mr. Farisi, I appreciate you calling in, and if you have any closing remarks?
No, like I said, you know, just let's keep our heads up, and let's make sure that our focus is on the environment, and that people that pollute, you know, need to be stopped for the best of all of us. And if the state agencies, federal or county agencies, don't do their job, then we need to point it out.
Okay. And I'll continue to monitor from this end, and I'll call you from time to time. Feel free to call me, and folks, if you have any questions or are interested or other problems you're experiencing, give us a call here at 524-1080 at KWAI, and just share with us what you have. Well, again, Mr. Farisi, thank you, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, it's disheartening when we see and hear these situations, because the government agencies really are supposed to work for us, not against us. And I don't believe that expecting the government to do what's right is an unreasonable request. Because they are supposed to serve us, and we all know that, and we know their mantra, of the people, for the people, by the people. But for some reason, some unknown reason, here we have situations that it's just getting out of hand, and there's simply no accounting, no accountability. If we were to complain to the state tomorrow, against the state, to the Attorney General, or to the Ombudsman, or to the Governor's Office, about Mr. Farisi's situation, nothing will be done. It will result in phone calls, 10, 15 phone calls maybe, and you might get a live body after the 16th phone call. So, in the future, how do we fix this? Come voting time, we remember. Vote for anybody that you think is going to tell you the truth, and tax these candidates with the responsibility of telling you how they're going to do it. Don't just accept the fact that if I get in, if I'm elected, I'm going to make sure that the environment is protected. Let's ask them and demonstrate, spell it out. How are you going to do that? Are you going to remove some of the old dogs, old guard, that have been repeatedly established themselves and are watching the gate? These are the types of things we need to do. If we don't do that, we can continue to complain about our government. It's out of hand. It's out of whack. But changing courses here a little bit, away from the environment, we're in a climate also speaking about government. I'd just like to ask the question, what is with the chairwoman of the Honolulu City Council and Senate President Colleen Hanabusa refusing to censor or reprimand Rod Tam or Ron Minor? Getting rid of the good old boys was a struggle, and it was hard enough. Now, how do we deal with the good old girl system, apparently? These are just some of the things we need to think about, and we don't need to be radical. We don't need to be violent. We don't need to do anything but start holding our government entities, the Department of Health, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and other state agencies, the Department of Education. They work for us. It's not the other way around. We must do exactly what is required, and if we want good government, then we must demand good government. And don't just walk in and see a video or a commercial that they are telling you how great they are. Hold their feet to the fire. And in this instance, we have gotten so far off course that I'm ashamed to tell you I spend on an average maybe 3 hours a day dealing with government agencies, and they all deal with the same situation the same way. It's as if they have come up with a devised this method and technique of depriving and denying the public of any access to the government, any functionality. And we see, for example, down in Chinatown here, where near the station, they removed, the mayor removed some of the gazebos, we'll call them, to discourage the gathering of drug addicts or drug use or what have you. Well, that's like cutting down all the trees because you're afraid that a bird sits in the tree and as you walk through it may defecate on you. It's just wrong. It's more than wrong. When, if you look, Mayor Hanneman, take for example, he aggressively pursued and cleaned the parks out by moving out the homeless. But you know, it's funny. If you go down to the HMB building or the Mayor Fossey building, who he's so gracefully named in honor of Mayor Fossey, former Mayor Fossey, you'll find there's a recycling machine sitting there. This is on Honolulu Recovery owns it, or Clyde Conashiro's company owns it, who Hanneman has a great relationship with. How on earth did he manage to get in and put his machines inside a city property which requires electric, which requires a man to man it? How do we do that? And how does he get by with it? It's just not sensible. But then he also, the mayor also had some cozy relationship with BEI, Brew Environmental. Well, he named Mark Telker to the Commission of Water Board, the water branch of water. What is he doing? It seems that he kicked the people out of the parks to make it beautiful, but he seems to be giving away the shop, on the other hand, to his friends. Again, if you were to call and inquire, you're not going to get any response. You're not going to get any answers. You're going to have to talk to the public relations person, and you're going to be put off, put on hold, or they'll get back to you. These types of things, and yes, I know Hanneman is a very good singer, I've been told, but I don't want to be entertained. I want to be served. I want to be served as a citizen. I want to be served by a governor, a mayor, or any other elected official that who swore and took an oath that he would watch out for the good of the people, the good of the land, the good of society, not the good of his friends and the good of his party, not the good of his financial future. And folks, if we don't start doing something, when I see people complaining, it's up to you to stop the complaining. It's and you can stop that by holding these people to a greater standard. So, Governor Lingle, I don't believe, is really qualified now to receive, and I had so much hope when she ran personally, and I was just anxious to see something come, a new change. And folks, I will tell you what I have seen, a distancing of that bridge that once existed no longer exists. It's gotten longer, narrower, and more unstable when it comes to holding the governor or asking the government to do what's right. Governor Lingle has been said she was going to be transparent. Is she transparent? Well, let's take the Barbawana case. Where was the transparency? Many issues that the Wamanala Gulch landfill, again, you may have heard me say earlier, we had to file a suit. And just to ask for public documents, because they wouldn't have a public hearing and they wouldn't allow the public to come in, but it was a public matter. And they want now public to comment on the draft environmental assessment. We were told, I personally was told and received a bill, in order for them to even look at the records to prepare them for me, I would be charged $600 and some odd just for them to start to get the records together to provide them for me. That doesn't sound, and it's simply not consistent with what Governor Lingle presented to us in her campaign. And I was one of those people, folks, who bought into it, believed it, and now I believe that we're more distant than ever. So when it comes down to us as a unit, the people, we need to start asking these questions. Are you really for the environment? What about the children? We're still having people sitting in classrooms that don't have air conditioners. They're going to be taxed and punished for some small infraction. Something's wrong here, folks. We take the Sand Island Treatment Plant. We have Mayor Hanneman, who in turn takes and argues that he do not need to and should be forced to modify or improve the Sand Island Treatment Plant. And then, in turn, runs and claims that he is for the environment. He wants to expand the landfill at Wamanala Gulch. Is that consistent with a person who want to protect the environment and protect the interests of the people? I don't think so. But anyway, I've come to the end of my hour here, and I would hope that next week we're going to be talking possibly, I'm still looking into some of the issues on mortuaries, and if you are interested, I think the information that we're finding is quite revealing, and some of you might be interested, and if you are, please tune in to the Carol Cox Show.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep 7 fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!